Well, I'm going to just share a thought with you on that. I'm not going to tell you the whole story because I don't know that I know the whole story, but I know part of it. Because God wants to demonstrate that his chosen ones, you, are not losers. That despite the fact we make mistakes and we're not perfect, we arise in the forgiveness that God gives us. We arise in the expression of his life and authority, and we shake the world of darkness because God has given us authority to do that. And sadly, and I'm only speaking of the last 50 years, we've lost a lot of that. Churches have gone from where they were to where they are now as comfortable, air-conditioned, I'll just use the word social clubs. Now, I know that's a harsh criticism of churches and it's a very general expression, but let me tell you, 50 years ago, 60 years ago, 70 years ago, there was a great work of the Holy Spirit and people were involved with it. This church began because a lady came from Melbourne with the talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That was not a popular topic. And people opposed that. I've told you before how when they had water baptisms down at the river there, that there used to be a pub along the river, and they'd chuck beer bottles at the people getting water baptised. Now, that discerns those who really want to be water baptised from the wannabes. And so we've become mainstream. But I believe God wants us to come back and not be mainstream, but be Holy Ghost stream. That our lives can go on with him and bring the things he wants to bring because he wants to reform this world. Now, I'm not saying that the world's going to be totally changed. I don't mean that. I don't believe that before Jesus comes that the world will all be converted to Christ. I don't mean that at all because I believe there won't be a majority who are born again, but there will be a power of God on display and people will live for him. So God demonstrates through you what Jesus did at Calvary, not only your salvation, but the fact that you go forth in his name and you bring about authority in his name to declare over the works of darkness. You know, when you do something simple in obedience to the Lord, something as simple as giving finance, you are making a stand against the works of darkness and you're overcoming the spirit of mammon. And that's a vital thing. And so anytime we obey the Lord, we're showing to the powers of darkness, we believe in God. We believe what Jesus did. We're walking in that. And you gain both authority and obviously a release of faith. God wants you to walk in victory. He could take Satan out of the world. Don't ever think that Satan's sort of in competition with God. He's not in competition with God. Well, he is to the sense that he hates God's creation and wants to wreck it and corrupt it and destroy it. But he's no competition to God. God would only have to say the word and Satan would be tied up totally, because we know that in the book of Revelation, it talks about how for 1,000 years he is bound along with these demonic powers as Jesus rules on the earth in peace and love and then is released again to cause war. But what I'm trying to say is Satan is no competition for God. And therefore, who do we follow? Are you going to pick Satan, or are you going to pick God, who's the winner, who's the triumphant one? Jesus Christ, our awesome Savior. So understand, God is greater and he has a greater purpose for us. Even though he lets Satan walk on the earth, he has enabled us to handle that. He's given us power. He's given us authority. And we can, being equipped, we can be winners. In the army, training happens. And I understand, or I've seen on news, that we are training Ukrainian soldiers and to go back and to fight against the invasion of Russia into their country. And so in that process, they're saying, well, they're giving them 1 month's training on what would normally take 6 months. So that's a challenge. But they establish that soldiers are fit for purpose. You can't take, you know, obviously people who have defective bodies or defective minds into the army because it would be dangerous. They have to teach them obedience to commands. They make them weapons capable, how to use the necessary military facilities. And then they provide them with leaders in NCOs and officers to take them into battle if necessary. It's part of the process. And really, that affects us as well, that we need to be people who become fit for purpose. And we do that as we prepare ourselves in prayer, in reading the Bible, coming to church, in operating in faith and understanding how God wants us to do. We are obedient to the commands of the Lord, and then we also are weapons capable. And I'm saying to you, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are the weapons that God has given to us to use. Not really weapons in one sense, but they are against the kingdom of darkness. God does this if we will cooperate with his training course. And we're led by him to go forward in our battle. So I want to turn to the scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 this morning, reading from verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore I made known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Verse 8. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills, distributing to each one individually. Every one of you is available for the Holy Spirit to work through, and you should set your hearts towards that. There are 9 gifts listed. 3 gifts are of revelation, 3 gifts are of power, 3 gifts are of inspiration, which means vocal. In 1 Corinthians 12:1, the spiritual gifts, the word gifts is not in the original Greek. It really means concerning the spirituals. And if you think, I'm going to enlarge on this further along, that there is the spiritual world and what we call the natural world. And the natural world is contained in the spiritual world. And so when we talk about operation in the spirituals, it means operating from the spiritual world or the supernatural world and bringing it into the natural world. And you then can do what God has called you to do. So the gift is probably not quite the right word to use, but that's what the translators of the Bible put in, and we'll work with that too. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 4, 5 and 6, the word gift, it says there are diversities of gifts, is not in the original, as I said, but it means endowment, meaning what God places upon the person who is operating for him. And then in verse 5, it says there are differences of ministries. The ministries refers to the roles that we carried out as set by God. And the word activities in verse 6 means the actual functioning of that endowment. And so we see that the gifts endowed with power, placed in a role and activated to function. But the whole emphasis is the same Spirit, the same Lord, the same God. Angels do not give the gifts nor direct the expression of those gifts. God does. This is not a chess game to God. He is releasing to us to rule in the natural world, but more so in the sense of the spiritual world under his authority and his direction. You got that? Firstly, everybody can be used of the gifts. Secondly, we must understand it's one God, one Spirit, one Lord, and that we are listening and obedient to him in the operation of that, but we can function in that authority. 1 Corinthians 12:7, the scripture says there, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. You can say, I am a candidate for the gift of the Holy Spirit that he wants to give to me. And that's not limited to one gift. He can use any gift. He has to use the gift in you that you need at the time. And I'll explain more about that when we're dealing with the gifts themselves. To each one for the profit of all. so that the body profits by that. And so it's for the kingdom of God that we operate in these gifts, you understand? In 313 AD, there was a Roman emperor named Constantine, and he was due to go into a major battle. And the night before, he had a dream. And in the battle, in the dream, he saw himself going into battle with a cross, the Christian cross, on his banner. And he won the battle the next day, and he determined then that Christianity would become the religion of Rome. Prior to that, the Caesar was the religion. He was the God, and you had to acknowledge that. Caesar is Lord. And Christians wouldn't do that. They said, we acknowledge Caesar as emperor, but Jesus as Lord, and they'd be put to death. It was so deadly there, so toxic for Christians, that the places they had to worship were in the graves, in the catacombs of Rome. That's how bad it was. To be a Christian was a death sentence. And Christians were fed to wild animals. They were cut asunder by the gladiators. One particular emperor on the Appian Way put 10,000 Christians on crosses and then set them alight on that fateful night there. They gave their lives to be Christians. The problem was when Constantine made it the religion, and Rome at that time was the dominating power in the world. When he made it the religion of Rome, but and then further than Rome, he set up buildings for them. He appointed priests for them. And what that did was to take away the edge that Christians had, that I could lose my life just for being a Christian. Now it was favourable to be a Christian. And so a lot of people became Christians who were never actually converted to Christianity, never acknowledged Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour. And so the church, really the operation of the church began to wane. There was no longer a sense, well, we've got to perform miracles to persuade people or show people that God loves them and wants them to come into the kingdom of God. And so the church began to decline, ran into the Middle Ages, lots of things happened. Martin Luther arose, nailed his 95 thesis to the church at Gothenburg. I can't remember where is it? Anyway, in Germany, put him on the door of the cathedral there. And that was that salvation was by faith alone. What I'm trying to say to you is the church has to return to its roots. And I know that we don't favour, you don't have to fear going out that door and being executed. But Jesus said we've got to take up our cross. Martyrs hang on crosses. There's a sense in which we die to self. We may not lose our physical life to society, but we need to give our lives to God. Be prepared to die to self for Him. That doesn't mean dying physically, but to die to self. My wants, my desires, my attitudes, my motivations have to die before the Lord so that we can show the way, just like those early Christians did. These gifts, how God has endowed people with supernatural and miraculous power, both in the Old and New Testament. We think, oh, well, this is all New Testament stuff, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But in fact, they were used in the Old Testament. The difference was that it says the Spirit of God came upon them, be it Samson in slaying the Philistines or David in battle, whoever it was. But in the New Testament, of course, the Spirit dwells within us. And so the gifts reside or rise within us to that. In the Old Testament, the gift was sent as the Spirit willed and came upon Samson when he needed it to. But in the New Testament, the gift is there. And the Bible says the gifts are without repentance. God gives them without repentance. In other words, the gift can be operating in your life and you might be far away from God, but the gift can still be operating there at the same time. And so we've got to flow into the supernatural and the miraculous power that God has provided both in the Old and the New Testament. The 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 3 says, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. We need to understand something. Many times we seek to reach people with the gospel and we say, look, say this prayer with me and ask God for forgiveness of sin and Jesus to be your Lord. And I believe in that. But you need to understand this. The Bible says unless we believe in our heart, not our head. We may believe in our head, but we need to believe in our heart and confess with our mouth. And I'm just going to take you to a scripture in Mark chapter 16. And reading there where Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he said to his disciples, "Who do men say that I am, the Son of Man am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, some Jeremiah, one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." You need to understand here, I believe that the Roman Catholic Church declared Peter to be the first pope, and that Jesus had given him the keys because of this scripture. But that's not the case. He was speaking to Peter and he called Peter a little rock, and then he said, upon this rock. What was the rock? It was the rock of revelation of whom Jesus Christ was, which is true for all of us. And this is where it comes to salvation, that we need the revelation by the Holy Spirit of who Jesus is and that he indeed is the Savior and Lord of the world. And when we come to that, we can believe in faith in our hearts that he indeed can deal with our sin and we can be forgiven, have a relationship with God. Then we confess with our mouth and receive forgiveness of sin. So when you're sharing the gospel with people, take them through the process and trust the Holy Spirit to bring something into their heart of the revelation of Jesus Christ so that they can truly receive salvation. 1 Corinthians 12:31 says this, "But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way." 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing." And so before we do a detailed study of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I want you to be very clear that we minister out of love. You see, God can endow people with great gifts, but they then can use it for their own benefit. And that disturbs me greatly because that's not why God gave it. He gave the gift for the body to be profited and for people to be shown the kingdom of God and God's love for them. But it has to come out of a heart and motivation of love within us. And so that's why he wrote after the chapter on the gifts, he gave us, "But I show you a more excellent way." It must be by love. And of course, he concludes that chapter by saying, you know, faith, hope and love abide, but love is the greatest thing. And love indeed is the greatest thing. It's why God sent Jesus. It's why we lift our hearts to God in worship. It's why we relate to people. It's why we give to missions so that people can be reached for the glory of God and the hope of salvation. It's all about love that we need to be motivated by. And I want to make that clear before we talk about gifts, that we've got to come with a heart of love in reaching people. Right motivation, right attitude. And we operate in the gifts out of a heart of love. Without love, a miracle is really without purpose. Because when we bring a miracle from God, we're manifesting God to people. That's what Jesus did. That's why he performed. He could have come to the earth and said, "Well, I am the Messiah. I've arrived." But what would have happened? Well, some people might have believed. But by the miraculous power he operated in of healing people, raising people from the dead, opening blind eyes, opening deaf ears, healing lepers, doing great and wonderful things, feeding huge crowds, walking on water, he was demonstrating, indeed he was God manifested as a man, bringing God's love to people. Now, you read some of his words, you think, boy, they don't sound terribly loving at times, because he rebuked the Pharisees and the Sadducees. But the reason he did that was they were denying people the opportunity to come into the kingdom of God by their imposed laws on people. The danger with law is you say, I've kept the law, I'm okay with God. Well, not so. Jesus said nobody has kept the law, only he did, so he could be the perfect sacrifice for sin. So let us understand that when we take forth the gifts of God and miracles happen, it is because God wants to display his love for someone, not to show them what a great person you are. Okay? Hear me this morning. It's about humility that we are talking. So why did he heal so many? So they could realize God had come among them and he'd come with love. He overcame the devil and he displaced the devil in their mind, because those people believed that sickness, disease and the fear of death came from the wicked one. And Jesus said, a greater than the wicked one is here, and I am he. And then he went on to demonstrate that that was true. Now let me talk to you for a moment about what is a miracle, because that's important. I'm believing for miracles. I'm saying and I'm speaking over this church the miraculous power of God to release miracles. But let me just share with you what is a miracle. It's any intervention in the natural world from the spiritual or supernatural world. It is not a natural involvement in a natural need. Give you an example. There are skilled surgeons, and we thank God for them. And they might perform an operation, and we say of that operation, oh, that was a miracle. That person who was so ill and sick, my dad had quadruple bypass when he was about 72, that took him on for another 20 years. We say, well, that was a miracle that they performed that, that somebody knew how to do that and make it happen, and his life, you know, gave him continuity of good life beyond that point. But it wasn't a miracle. It was the skill of the surgeon, and we thank God for that. I'm not putting that down in any way. But a miracle is if he'd been touched by the power of God and been totally healed. That's a miracle, because it comes from the supernatural to the natural realm. Naturally, he needed a bypass, quadruple bypass. And it was done in a natural way, in a hospital, not in a supernatural way where God touched him and healed him. I wish God had touched him. It would have been a great thing, but it didn't happen. And I thank God for the extra 20 years that my dad had of life at that time. So let me put up a diagram for you this morning. Can we just get that? Okay. What I want you to see in this, and I have shown it over the years, understand the natural world, our three-dimensional world, is contained within another world, the spiritual or the supernatural world. You can call it either one. Perhaps calling it supernatural gives it a certain relevancy in what we're trying to say here. And so when we speak of a miracle, something is coming from the supernatural world into the natural world. And God says, you're the person to bring it. You're the person to declare it, to release it, however it might be. It could be through prayer or the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We'll talk more about that in the future. But when we're born again, what happens with us, we are in the natural world, a natural body, a natural soul, a spirit that's not alive. But when we're born again, our spirit in the natural world is now connected to the spiritual or the supernatural world. And so I don't only reside in the natural world, I am a part of the spiritual world. I'm a part of the supernatural world. Do you understand? Because my spirit is born again. The Holy Spirit lives within me. That's why I can say I'm a part of the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God starts from the spiritual world and works into the natural world. And when you start to see that, you see you are beyond a natural person. You are a supernatural person. Do you understand? You're more than you think you are. You can do more than you think you can. By the power of God, you can achieve great and mighty things if you let him work through you to do that. And you've got to see that from the supernatural world, God ministers into the natural world. When you pray a prayer, as we will this afternoon, I invite you to join us at 5 o'clock. Pastor Kane has an exciting program for that prayer time together. We will speak words of prayer. And unless we record them on our phones or some other way, those words will be gone. I mean, we might sort of remember what was said, but we can't hear them anymore. But I want to say this to you. While in the natural world, we think they cease to exist, in the spiritual world, they continue. That's why in the book of Revelation, it talks about the prayers of the saints being poured out upon the earth. Because there's a difference between the spiritual and the natural. And we have to get a grip and say, I am a part of the spiritual world. I'm more than in this natural world. My body is stuck here. And I guess my thinking is in many ways stuck here, but it needs to rise. You need to get a greater perspective that we're part of the spiritual, the supernatural world. And when we function in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, anything that comes from the supernatural to the natural, and I'm not talking about the satanic side of that, I'm talking about the God side of that, anything that comes from there to there is a miracle. It's an intervention of the supernatural into the natural. And so when you manifest the gifts of the Holy Spirit in any one of the nine spirits, you are bringing a miracle. Do you understand? Why? Because it's come from a spiritual or supernatural world into a natural world. And there we declare a miracle has occurred. Now, I know there are some miracles that are simple and there are some that are great. But I say that anything that comes out of the spiritual into the natural is a miracle because it's an intervention from the kingdom of God in that realm into this realm. And so you are a candidate to work miracles. And it's my prayer as I teach you about the gifts of the Holy Spirit that you will begin to be able to function in them, to manifest them, because that's God's purpose. He wants everyone to be used in the gifts of the Holy Spirit for His glory, for people who need to hear there's a God who loves them, and that requires, I believe, many times a demonstration. Words are not enough. Words are not enough. If words were enough, this world would have been won. We have access to huge technical resources. We could bombard the world in social media, but it's not enough. Some people may believe, many won't. There's more that's required for the body to release that. And I'm saying to you this morning, as I said last time, someone is waiting for you to bring them a miracle. And they may not be born again, probably are not, but they're waiting for a miracle. There are people in this city who cry out to God, if you're real, show me. Sometimes God does show people directly, but most times He brings someone to them. And that can be you. Somebody, you don't know what the need of your neighbour is, really. You might know some needs. You don't know how their heart hurts. They're crying out to God. And you can bring them a miracle if you're prepared to let God work through you. So when we talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, pay attention. And I want to walk you through it, how you can be used, how you can function, and how you can bring a miracle into the life of somebody who's waiting for it. Before I finish this morning, I just want to say this. The greatest miracle that ever occurred was when God became a man and walked the earth and demonstrated the love of God through working miracles. And I want to say this morning, have you experienced the result of that greatest miracle? Have you awakened in your heart to know that Jesus Christ loves you, that God loves you, and that He gave Himself for you? And that today you can come into a place of knowing God the Father through God the Son. And that requires a forgiveness of sin. Jesus came, took the sin of mankind upon Him, the wickedness of man, died as a sacrifice before God so that we, if we choose, can be free. And my question this morning is to you, if you're sitting in this place and your heart is stirred and you know you need something more, I'm going to ask you, would you just lift your hand and say, I need Jesus. I haven't experienced him. It may be everyone here knows Jesus, but it may not be. And I shouldn't just let this day pass by saying, let's go. We'll go and have coffee and have a good time. Do you need Jesus? If you need Jesus, would you lift your hand for me? And if you didn't lift your hand and you know you need Jesus, I want you to come and talk to me or Pastor Kane. Say, I need Jesus. Tell me how I can come to that place of salvation and freedom. I would say, most of us, if not all of us, have experienced the greatest miracle. Salvation is the greatest miracle. But we've got to bring it to others and love people in the doing. Okay? Amen. Amen. Father, I just come to you this morning. I thank you for the greatest miracle, and we just rejoice in that. It's my prayer that every person here will take it into their hearts to want to be an expression of that miracle in the lives of others, bringing hope, bringing healing, bringing salvation, bringing the glory and the love of God. And that our hearts would be awakened to that, so we might serve you with fullness of purpose and obedience. May we arise. May our hearts be lifted up towards you, to know you, to live for you, and to love you with all of our being, all of our mind, our soul, our strength. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.